Says these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The word hate, if you will remember, it carries the meaning of that which is a foe or an enemy. And so there are things that are an enemy of God. There are things that are a foe to the Lord. The word abomination means something disgusting and abhorrent. So there are things that are horrifying to God, that he abhors, that are disgusting unto him, and that really means to his soul. It grieves his soul. There are things that are an enemy of God, that are abhorrent to God, that are hurtful to his soul, and the idea here that we need to gather is that this is a big deal with God. It's serious. Strong language that is used here. And the Bible tells us that there are things that God thinks so seriously about that they're an enemy to him, that he abhors them. The last time we were here, we looked at the very first one, a proud look. And we talked about how that was the idea of something coming from within. The meaning of the word look there was basically a fountain and like an underground spring that continually feeds this fountain. And the idea is that there's a fountain of pride that is within. Our prideful hearts within is something that God hates because it always usurps the Lord as Lord of our life. It's pride that is generated within the heart of man that causes him to want to rule his own life and not submit to the Lord. The second on the list here, which we'll consider today, is a lying tongue. These six things doth the Lord hate: a proud look and a lying tongue. We're going to consider things God hates, and he hates a lying tongue. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, would you use your word to show us what manner of men we are. Lord, would you use your word to correct, to reprove, to exhort. And Father, it's profitable for us, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And Lord, the word of God is the thing that can reprove our life and that will show us the way that we should walk in, and Lord, will help us to become more like Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be humble today, examine our own hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know if I've ever heard an entire message specifically on the subject of lying. I know that I've heard messages that contain some lies in them. And I was thinking, as I was studying this, a funny joke, which probably won't be funny now that I told you it's a funny joke, because pastors can't tell funny jokes. So never mind, I'm just going to not tell it. I thought, you know, I've had even people lie while I'm preaching. But it's usually on their side or on their back when they fall asleep in the afternoon. So somebody laughed. Who was that? Was that you, Becca? Hey, guys, have ever noticed Becca's laugh? No, I'm kidding. I think, back to being serious again, Christians don't look on lying as the grievous sin that it is to the Lord. I mean, the Bible's using some very strong language here, how God feels about lying, and it's easy for Christian people to look at the bad sins as really bad, you know, but really overlook how easy it is to be deceitful and dishonest with our tongue and not see it for the grievous sin that it is to the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you today. There are people who would never, ever consider going to a bad movie, but they'll lie at the drop of a hat. There are people who don't mind misleading others to some degree or another in the interest of business. There's a store manager who heard his clerk tell a customer, "No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look as if we'll be getting any time or anytime soon." Horrified, the manager came running over to the customer and said, "Of course we'll have some soon. We placed an order last week." Then the manager took the clerk aside and said, "Never, ever, ever say that we're out of anything. Say we've got it on order and it's coming." Now, what was it that she wanted anyway? And the clerk said, "Oh, she was just wanting rain." The manager would tell a lie in the interest of business. And it's so easy, I think, for God's people to act that way as well. You know, there are Christian people who would be fanatical about making sure that they dressed modestly, and yet they think nothing about manipulating people or manipulating a situation with untruths. Neither one is good. But you understand what I'm saying. We can look at the bad sins as bad, but completely skip over how horrifying and how abhorrent lying is to the Lord. People lie one to another for the sake of keeping the peace. Parents will lie to their children. Children will lie to their parents. Employers and employees will lie one to another just the same. Advertisers will lie to sell products. Politicians will lie to spin things their way so they can stay in office. It's rampant. It's all over the place. But you know what? The Lord says that he hates it. In fact, God included it in the Ten Commandments when he said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." The point is that I think God takes it seriously. And so should God's people. You might say, "Well, I don't have a problem with lying, but does it grip your heart? Does it convict your heart when you've been dishonest to the point that you need to make reconciliation, you need to go back and make it right? Well, if I don't say anything, no one's ever going to know. I'll just confess it to the Lord, you know, and move on with my life." But God hates it. I remember there was a time many years ago, I had not been on staff very long in Grand Forks, probably a year, maybe two, something like that. I don't even know. But I remember there was a time when we were going to go on a little vacation, and we were just going to go 90 miles away to central Minnesota, to the lakes region, whatever, and we were going to be gone for a few days, and it was just going to happen to be over a Sunday. And not necessarily anything wrong with that in and of itself. We went on our little vacation. I came back. I was back in the office, you know, the next week, and I just happened to be talking to my pastor, and he said, "Oh, where did you go to church on Sunday?" And in that moment, panic came over me, because the truth was, I didn't go to church that Sunday. I wanted to, but for various reasons, whatever they were, not a good church, whatever, or not putting very much effort into it, because maybe at that point in time, I didn't have the same convictions I have today. And so I said to him, "Oh, we went to such and such a church." It was a Baptist church there that I knew of, not a good one. And I went on with the conversation. I left his office. I went back to my office. And the Spirit of God just brought the hammer down. "You told a lie. You lied to your pastor. Because you thought that he would think ill of you. You thought that he would have something to say. And so in order to save your hide, you told a lie." I'm telling you, I was a wreck. And I couldn't get past it. And the whole day went on. And I'm fighting with the Lord, because I don't want to have to go back and tell him. He's never going to know. What's the big deal? That's what my flesh said. But the Spirit of God wouldn't let me get away with it. And I was just so crushed in my soul that I did that. And I had to go back to his office at the end of the day and knock on his door and in shame tell him that I told him a lie. And that here was the truth. I didn't actually go to church. I'm ashamed of myself. Number one for not, but then number two for telling you a lie. And I had to walk away with my head down in shame. And I remember coming to the conclusion in my life that honesty and being truthful, even though it costs something, is far, far greater than what it's going to cost me in the end for telling lies and being deceitful. I didn't look on the shame of lying like God does. God hates it. And we'll talk about reasons why in just a little bit. But my point is that Christian people will look at the bad sins, but sort of look at things like lying as everybody does it, or it's a little white lie, or nobody knows. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters," man, there's the list of the bad sins, right? "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Here's another list of grievous sins in Revelation 22 and verse 15. And note what's included here. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers," oh, there's the bad sins, "and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." There's a man who said, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while truth is still lacing up her boots." How true is that? You know what? It's natural for our flesh to lie. And there's something about our sinful nature that actually enjoys it. Both the lie and loving the lie. I think that's why people love hearing gossip so often. Is because it appeals to our sinful nature. Lying is easy. But truth is often hard. So let me ask you the question as we get going here. Are you known to be truly an honest person? Is that how you're known? Or do people have to question you or wonder about your genuineness because of lies you've told? Do you have a reputation as someone who's a liar? Or do people know that what you say is true? Is your word good? Do you do what you say you're going to do? How often do people make commitments? Oh, yeah, I'll be there, I'll do this. And then when the time comes, because they don't really want to, they make up some sort of a lie, but, oh, I'm not feeling good today, in order to get out of whatever they committed to do. Do you tell the truth even when it will cost you something? We say that honesty pays. But actually, honesty often costs. But you know what? Doing right is its own reward because it has with it the pleasure of God. Have you ever known somebody who's a compulsive liar? Somebody who lies even when it serves no purpose? They love to tell grand stories, but they're all lies. I've known a person or two like that. I don't think most people are like that, you know, especially Christian people. But I think many times Christian people lie when they feel like they're going to be in trouble. And it's not just children that do that. Because children will do that all the time, right? You're going to get a spanking. So I'm going to tell a lie to try to get out of this trouble that I think I'm in. It's not just children that do that. Adults, God's people, lie thinking it's going to get them out of a jam too. But you know what? When our natural instinct is faced with those situations and our natural instinct is to tell a lie instead of the truth, something is wrong. Something's wrong in the heart. And maybe it's a natural instinct to do that, but the power from the Spirit of God to overcome that is maybe more of what's in question. The Bible has a lot to say about lying. Proverbs 6 lists lying as one of the things that God hates. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." Opposite ends of the spectrum. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, something abhorrent to God, but those that deal truly are his delight. There was a man who said, "You can fool the public and be a secret fraud. You can try to hide your lying, but you'll never fool God." So I want to talk to you about things that God hates, a lying tongue. I want to give you three truths about lying today. Number one, let's consider the origin of lying. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In verse 44. John 8:44, the Bible says here, Jesus speaking to the Jews, the Pharisees, in this passage, and he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." So Jesus speaking to the Pharisees here, and he says, "You are of your father the devil. He didn't have any truth in him. When he speaks, he's speaking a lie. He speaks his own because he's a liar and he's the father of it." And so basically, in other words, we're a lot like Satan when we're liars, when we tell a lie. Just like Jesus said, "You're of your father the devil." And you know what's true? That when you look at Satan's appearances in the Bible, almost every time we see the devil in scriptures, he's telling a lie from the very beginning. The first time we see Satan in the Bible, he lies about God to man. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, and follow along with me, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The first time we see Satan in the Bible, he's telling a lie about God to man. He lies about the truthfulness of God initially, because he says, "Hath God said," questioning God's word. You know, whenever we question God's word, we're really skating on thin ice, for sure. And yet many question God's word all the time today. We stand in judgment of God's word. And you know, whether it makes sense to us, whether it's politically correct or not, really doesn't matter at all. The word of God is to stand in judgment of us, not the other way around. Questioning what God says. Well, I'll believe this part of it and I'll apply this and live this way. But you know what? I don't know if I really believe that or to the extent of that. You know, biblical separation. And we question God's word, where God's word is to judge us and not the other way around. He lied about the righteousness of God to Eve. Because in verse 3, She said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Lying about the righteousness of God, ye shall not surely die. In other words, God won't judge you for that sin. And we hear that kind of a lie all the time in our world today. We hear that lie coming from pulpits, in churches. He lied about the goodness of God as well, because he said in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Almost as if, hey, God's trying to hold you back, Eve. You got the potential to be a god. You've got the potential for all of this. But God doesn't want you to be that. God's trying to hold you back. He's keeping good things from you. I think sometimes we lie to ourselves. And we tell ourselves lies about God and his goodness too. The next time Satan appears in the Bibles in the book of Job, this time Satan's in the courts of heaven apparently, and he's lying about man to God. You remember what he said about Job? Turn over to Job chapter 1. Job 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. It was here that Satan's lying about man to God. In other words, what Satan said, the only reason that Job is serving you, the only reason that Job obeys you is because you're so good to him. You've put a hedge of protection around him. You've blessed him and so on. But as soon as you take your hand of blessing off of him, he'll curse you right to your face. What a liar. To Adam and Eve, he says that God isn't good enough. God's holding you back. And now he's saying that God's too good. Either way, he's telling a lie. And so from the very beginning to the very end, Satan is a liar. And when we lie, listen, friend, when we lie, we align ourselves with everything that brings death and destruction and damnation into this world. Sin is what leads to death, but that sin was brought about by a lie, believing a lie. I guess the point that I'm trying to make here is don't take lying lightly. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Not with God. We calculate and we gauge and we measure sins. The real bad ones. And then these ones. And then these ones and so on. And the little white lie. There's no such thing as a little white lie. God is truth. And anything less than that is wrong. And it's sin. The origin of lying, it came from Satan. Secondly, I want you to see the operation of lying. Lying has many faces to it. Lying has many children in its family, if you want to call it that. The operation of lying. Let me give you just six ways people often tell lies without even thinking about it. In Psalm 101, In verse 5, the Bible says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off." The word slander actually means lying. It means lying with intention of doing harm to another person's reputation. Slander is a form of lying. It's intention of doing harm to another person's reputation, and it's not true. By the way, just because somebody accuses you of lying doesn't necessarily mean that you've lied. They could be lying about you lying. Does that make sense? Some sins are worse than others in terms of damage done. That's true. Like if I steal from you, I could return that item to you, and some of the damage could be abated. But you know what? If I spread lies about you, I may not ever be able to undo the far-reaching effects that those lies had. There was a man who spread lies about his pastor to people in the church. Later on, he was convicted about it, and he actually repented. And he went to his pastor and asked him, how can I make this right? Well, the pastor told him, "Why don't you go get some feather pillows and rip them open and place one feather on every porch in the community, especially those that you told lies to." It seemed like a strange request, but he did what he was told to do. He went back to the preacher and he said, "I've done what you said to do. I think I've completed the task." And he said, No, you're not done yet. I want you to go back and pick them all up now that you've put them out there." He said, But Pastor, I can't. The wind's taken them to who knows where by this point." And the pastor said, "So it is with the words that you've spoken about me. You can't take those back. You can't pull back the damage that can be done with a little slander, a little lie. What does James 3 teach us about the tongue? That even though it's a little member, oh, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." When we slander someone's reputation, we do irreparable damage. And the truth of the matter is we're going to answer to God for it. Talebearing is another form of lying. The talebearer is a person who loves to tell things. They love to share the news. But they don't really care if their facts are actually factual or correct or not. Of course, there's mixtures of facts in there. But there's the talebearer is the one who likes to embellish, the one who likes to exaggerate a matter or so on. And all it does is turn into gossip, actually. Rumors. And you know what? The child of God should have nothing to do with that. Don't spread it. Don't spread the gossip. In fact, try to stop others from gossiping. Don't repeat gossip. Don't listen close the first time so that you can get all the details for when you go and tell it to the next person. God hates it. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13 says, "And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." The word tattler here means a garrulous person. Garrulous means a chatty person, a gossip. That's what a tattler is. They're busybodies and they're tattlers, speaking things that they ought not. Proverbs 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin." A busybody is a meddlesome person. Leviticus 19 and verse 16 says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people." Next time you enjoy listening to someone gossip, remember this. Anyone who will gossip to you will also gossip about you. I think this is where they do the mic drop. We don't think about that much, do we? Anybody who will gossip to you is going to gossip about you at some point. Don't allow your ears to become someone's personal trash can, okay? If someone comes to me and says, "Hey, Pastor, I thought you should know that people are saying whatever," I always try to stop and ask, who are people? I don't accept anonymous criticism. Put a face on who's saying what, or it's going to stop right here. Whenever someone says, "Hey, you should know people are saying," I think sometimes it's really a cowardly way of saying what that person actually wants to say, but they put it off on someone else instead. The Bible tells us that if I have a problem with someone, I'm to go to the person. I'm to go to them alone to work it out with me and my brother. Amen? Is that not what the Bible says? Is that what it tells us? Yes, it does. If he won't hear you, at that point you're supposed to take two or three witnesses so that every word is established. Amen? The Bible doesn't give us license or room to start spreading rumors and lies and gossip, slander, talebearing, backbiting. Let me tell you, friends, I've heard some things. Do you want to know what I've heard? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I love Plaque Road Baptist Church with all my heart. I want this church to stand for the Lord, for all its life, until the Lord returns. But let me tell you something. I am not nearly as concerned or worried about forces from without destroying this church. It is more worrisome that forces from within would be its undoing. We should never, even for a minute, let gossip and talebearing and lying have a place in our life or the life of this church. Amen. Here's another way. We can lie by insinuation. This is where you don't actually say something, but you suggest it or you leave a false impression in someone's mind. Usually that's where the fish stories come in. The fish that I caught. What if I told you this? "Man, today was a good Sunday. Brother Doug was sober today." It's true, isn't it? It wasn't a lie. Brother Doug was sober today. But to somebody who doesn't know him, I just left an impression in their mind. Didn't I? I've suggested something without clarifying. And it's left an impression in someone's mind that actually isn't true. We lie by insinuation. when we want to make ourselves look better than we really are. Or we want others to think well of us in a certain light. Here's another one, flattery. We talked a little bit about flattery this morning. Flattery is insincere praise. Saying something to someone's face that you actually wouldn't say or think about them behind their back. And it's usually to leave an impression. Psalm 55:21 says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they as drawn swords. You see that difference? Smooth words, flattering words, but not something that's in the heart. Flattery is a form of lying. How about telling half-truths? Not telling the whole story. We can tell a lie even when we're telling a truth, because we're not telling the whole truth. Like, for example, a parent asks their teenager, hey, where are you going? Oh, I'm going over to so-and-so's house. All that's true, but what's left out of the picture is where they're going from there, because I don't want mom to find out or dad to find out what I'm actually doing. So I've told the truth, but I haven't told the whole truth. It's a lie. And you know what? We break the spirit of the law when we do this. And I think that's why in a court of law, they say, do you swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth? The whole truth, right? Not just half-truths. Because a half-truth equals a whole lie. Let that one sink in for a minute. And God hates it. It's abhorrent to God. But it's so easy for us to do. Exaggeration is another form of lying. I don't think anybody's as guilty as preachers here when it comes to exaggeration. Telling their fish stories, etc. You know what? Excuses. Excuses can be lies. Usually they're just dressed up lies. I remember when I was a teenager, in the youth group, Brother Scott Kuzel, you all remember Brother Kuzel, he's my youth director. We'd have teen class like every Friday afternoon, and we'd come and have like an hour of Bible lessons and so on, and then after that we would go out to the university and we would do some evangelizing and so on. And inevitably, somebody would be late to class. And they would come in and everyone's sitting there, and he would tell everybody to stare at the person as they walk in, you know, and make a big scene and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, why are you late? And inevitably, somebody would say, oh, well, I was late because of the train that crossed over the road, you know, that made me like 5 minutes late and so on. And he would always say this. He would always say that your excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. The reality was, you didn't leave on time, or you didn't give yourself enough time to get there, and the train made you late. It's a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. That's what excuses are. Well, I forgot. That only goes so far with my kids. When I've told you 4 or 5 times already about this, the excuse of I forgot doesn't last very long. It's a lie. The origin is Satan. The operation of lying, well, that comes in many forms. Either way, God hates it. Thirdly, I want to just talk about overcoming lying. Overcoming lying, what can we do about it? Well, every negative command could actually be reworded positively. For instance, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We could say today, thou shalt always tell the truth. It can be reworded in a positive way. And the truth is the very character and nature of God. Truth is the character and nature of God. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Amen. I am the life. He called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. And truth is what sets us free. So how do we overcome lying? Number one, first of all, we need to learn to love the truth. Learn to love the truth more than anything else. Listen, that is something that requires a heart change. Go with me over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, we know it as David's penitential psalm. And the Bible tells us here, as David begins to speak in verse 1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." And he says, "Wash me from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin." Verse 3, he acknowledges his transgression. Verse 4, he acknowledges that his sin was against the Lord and he's done evil in the sight of the Lord. He acknowledges the fact that he's a sinner by nature in verse 5. And then in verse 6, he says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Our natural bent is to lie. Our natural bent in our flesh is to tell lies. And what we need is a heart change that causes us to learn to love the truth more. God wants truth on the inside. Because what's on the inside is what comes on the outside. David spoke of truth in the inward parts. You know what? A person is not a liar necessarily because they tell lies. They tell lies because they're a liar. We need an inward change. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, "Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." We need to learn to love the truth because God is truth. And I love the Lord. And I understand and know that God hates lying and he loves truth. I need to love truth. Secondly, we need to learn truth. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Why is it that people get depressed? Why is it that people get defeated about things? Why? Because they're listening to the lies that even their own heart will tell them and not listening to the truth of God. Why is it that people question God and God's goodness and God's justice and God's mercy? Why is it that people think, that God doesn't even care? Because they're looking and listening to all the lies rather than listening to the truth of God and his character right here. We need to learn the truth, and we need to love it. This helps overcome lying. Listen, what do you saturate your mind with? With good things, like the Word of God that speaks his truth. Because the Bible tells us that it's the truth that sets us free. Truth can set you free from the bondage of your own heart, the bondage of the lies your own heart tells you. It's how Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness with the truth of the scriptures. Amen. When Satan came and tempted him and "I'll give you all these things," what did Jesus do? Quoted scripture to him. We learn the truth through the Word of God. We need to love the truth. And thirdly, then we need to live the truth. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." You know what? It's good to be accountable one to another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to be open to others putting a stop to our lying, gossiping mouth. When someone says, "Hey, you know what? I don't want to hear that. That's gossip." Or, "Hey, you got a problem with that person? Let's go talk to him. Let's go find out the truth right now." Let's ask them. Why don't people do that? Maybe because they're afraid of losing a relationship, losing a friendship. I don't know. But when we love truth more than we love other things, and we love God and the truth of God, we're going to say, hey, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not godly. That's not what the Lord wants. You know what? Let's go find out. Let's go talk right now. Let's get to the bottom of this. On the other hand, we need to be open to that. Someone doing that to us ourselves. Don't let slander have a place or tale-bearing have a place. And if we end up in our flesh, we fall or falter somehow in that area, because the truth is we probably will. At some point, we probably will. What we ought to do, because we love the truth and we love the Lord and we want to live the truth, then immediately confess that to the Lord. Immediately correct it with the individual. And make another commitment that I'm going to be truthful. Because God hates lying. He abhors it. Right now, Satan wants to tell you a lie. It's not that big of a deal. Don't listen. Don't fall for it like Adam and Eve. He'll tell you it's not that bad. I don't really have a problem with this. But today you've heard the truth. And it's the truth that can set you free. And so, don't lie to yourself. Amen? What does the Bible tell us? To be doers of the word, not hearers only, right? The Bible tells us that the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty seeth what manner of man he is, but then goeth his way and forgetteth, he deceiveth himself. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Because Psalm 101 in verse 7 says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Psalm 63:11 says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Revelation 21:8, we read it before, the unbelieving, the fearful, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, people who are not saved people, and are habitual liars, or maybe I should say it this way, people who are habitual liars are probably not saved people. And the Bible says they're going to have their part, which burneth with fire and brimstone. And it's the second death. God's serious about it. And we need to train ourselves and train our children to love truth. We train our children, never tell lies. Never tell lies. Always tell the truth. God hates a lying tongue, and it's an abomination to his soul, and I don't want to be an enemy of God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use your word today to help us see the seriousness of sin and how sin needs to become exceeding sinful. In any area. But there's no such thing as degrees of sin with God, because you're holy and set apart, and in you is no darkness at all. Lord, help us to treat it and see it like you see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's